Amen. Thank you for all of those kind words, Brother Baker. It is good to see Brother Sister Gilbert here tonight. I've known them for a long time. They're really New Yorkers, you know, transplanted among you. But last night, I worked with a simple, shall we say, aspect of faith. But tonight, I want to worship with something equally as important. I want to read to you from the book of Psalms, Psalm 95 and verse 6. The book of Psalms was really a song book or a hymnal used by Judaism for centuries, millennia, still used today. And they were written for the most part by the king whose name was David. David was a statesman. He was a poet. He was a captain. He was a warrior. He was definitely a king. He was a musician. He was a songwriter. And he knew God. And David said in Psalm 95 and verse 6, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." He said in Psalm 97 and verse 7, "Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods." What he was really saying is, make all the gods that can be made, make them. But he has no equal, is what he was saying. He was really saying, let all the gods that are made bow down and worship this one I know, is what he was saying. In Psalm 99, there are many verses, but I've chosen these three. In Psalm 99 and verse 5, David wrote and said, "Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy." I simply want to entitle this, Worship of God. Would you, once again, would you close your eyes, would you lift your voice, your hearts and your hands, and would you worship the Lord from the deep of your heart for just a moment in time? Would you clap your hands one more time, and would you lift your voice unto the Lord? Hallelujah. Somehow I think we can do it better than that. If everybody got involved, here tonight, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, if everybody got involved worshiping God, there would be a tremendous move of His Spirit, because God is magnetized to worship. Can you feel the difference? You can feel the difference. You can feel it already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord bless you. This is magnificent. You may be seated. I took the time to look up one day in Webster's dictionary to see what the definition of the word worship might be. From an intellectual standpoint, the word worship means an extreme devotion. It means an intense love or admiration. We talk a great deal in Pentecostalism about praising God. We also talk about worshiping God. There is a difference between praising Him and worshiping Him. To praise God means to thank Him for what He has done for you. That's one aspect of it. But worship is to acknowledge who He is. And when you worship Him, you are really acknowledging Him, as David did, as the God of all gods, the only true God. So when you praise Him, you can thank Him for what He has done. But when you begin to worship, the spirit will change and something traumatic begins to happen in the spirit world, and you can feel the difference. The wise man came to worship Him because He was God. The shepherds came to worship Him because He was God. I came tonight to this house to worship Him because He is God. You must come here to worship Him because He is God. We have come to worship Him tonight because He is God. I can worship Him by myself, and it is acceptable to God. But if I can get you to worship with me, we can magnify Him. We can magnify Him. You saw what happened a moment ago when everybody got involved. Or at least everybody got involved, for the most part. Something happened. There was a magnification in the Spirit. You could feel it. And when visitors come in among us, and there's one or two over here doing their thing, they can look at them and think they're out of it. But if we are all doing it, they've got to concede that there is something in this house that causes all of us to get involved. And the Spirit of the Lord inhabiteth the praises of His people. So if you praise Him and worship Him in a great big way, He will come and live in that house in a great big way. If you need a miracle tonight, you probably will not get it by begging. But if you will shift gears and begin to worship, worship is the prerequisite to miraculous. I'll tell you where you'll find God. He will charter a boat and He will float down the tear on your cheek. You'll find Him in a hand clap. You'll find Him in the waving of a hand. You'll find Him in the dance. You'll find Him in a song. You'll find Him coming through the organ. You'll find Him floating upon the strains of a piano. You will find Him in the fingers that pluck the strings of a guitar. You'll find Him coming through the cymbals. You'll find Him coming through the drums. You'll find Him. You'll find Him coming. Come worship among the people. So if you need a miracle, stop begging for it. Just begin to praise Him and begin to worship Him for your miracle. The Syrophoenician woman proved to us that worship is the prerequisite to the miraculous. Her miracle would never have happened if she had only petitioned. But when she began to worship, there was something about this man called Jesus. He could not restrain himself. He was unable to deny her. What he was really saying is, lady, you're just a dog. You're a Gentile dog. But because you worship me, I'm going to open the door for the session long before it's supposed to be opened. And God Himself reached down to the Gentile, one that was not in the royal household of faith, and she got a miracle. She got a miracle. She got a miracle because she was a worshiper. She was a worshiper, not a beggar, not a pleader, not a complainer, not a whiner, but she was a worshiper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is great, and He is greatly to be praised. Our worship is relative to our concept of God. If God is a great God to me, then I will worship Him greatly. But if God is insignificant to me, then my approach to Him will also be in that manner. You can tell a lot about people by the way they worship. Worship is an attitude toward God. You reveal something about yourself when you worship Him and by how you worship Him. Sinners do not worship God because they do not know Him. They have no relationship with Him. But we do. We know Him. We profess to know Him. To know who He is, that He alone is God, that beside Him there is no other God. He hung the stars in space. He caused this terrestrial ball to spin on its axis. He caused the tide to roll in. He set the wind in motion. He causes the rising of the sun and the setting of the same. He is worthy to be praised because He is great. How great Thou art, O Lord my God, the songwriter wrote. You reveal the state of your own spiritual maturity by the way you worship God. If you worship God only when you are in the mood, you're very elementary. If you worship only when you feel God, you are very immature. If you're hung up tonight because you feel you're unworthy to worship Him, and you may be unworthy to worship Him, you're making a big mistake. No matter how unworthy you may be, don't ever forget this. God is forever worthy of your praise. Whether you are worthy or unworthy is immaterial. Because when you come into His presence, no matter what you are, no matter what you've done, He is forever worthy of your praise as you enter into His courts. And the revelation is, the understanding is, the secret is, no matter how unworthy you are, if you will find the grace to worship Him, suddenly His worthiness will come off upon you. And you can be changed in the presence of the Lord. You can be delivered. You can be set free. You can be healed. You can be filled. You can be refilled with something called the river of life. Hallelujah. There is something in this world that we live in tonight, in the intellectual world, from the world of education, there is something called an IQ, an intelligent quotient. And that IQ, or that level of intelligent quotients, will vary from 60%, which is the average population. The average population has 60%. Or shall I say, 60% of the population has average intelligence. And so most things in education are geared for the 60%. But then there is that 14% that is above average. Then there is a 5% that is in the superior group. There's a 1% that is in the genius group. And that's on one side of the 60%ers. But on the other side of the average group, there's a 14% portion of the population that is below average intelligence. You've got the 5% that is in the imbecile group, and then you've got the idiots. That's intelligent quotient. That's IQ. That's the way it is arranged in this world. That's how they have deducted all of us, and they've slotted us in one of those categories. So, we've learned something here tonight, perhaps. But there's something that I call WQ, IQ, worship quotient. As I travel over this world, in this country, I can tell you that about 60% of our people are average worshipers. Just look at a congregation, any congregation. About 60% of them worship about average. But you've always got that other group, that about 14% of the group, they're a little above average. They're a little more into it. And you've got the 5% that are in that excellent group. And they get with it. But then you've got the geniuses that couldn't care less what anybody thinks. And they just do their thing for Jesus. They do it. And I can say tonight, we've got some geniuses here among us. I want some of you dance. I want some of you shout. I want a handful of you run around here. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. But then, you've got, among us, you've got that 14% that's below average. And we've got some real idiots among us, too. They never do anything, any time, any place, for any reason. Let me tell you something here tonight. If you've really got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if He is really alive inside of you, when you come into His presence, you will do something. You will at least tap a foot when they're singing if you've really got the Holy Ghost. And if He's alive inside of you, it's like a fire shut up in your bones. You are unable to contain it. You are unable to contain it. You don't care what anybody thinks. You don't care what anybody says. You just do it. Hallelujah. People, there's something wonderful in this house tonight. There's something powerful in this house tonight. Anything can happen here. Anything can happen in this house because of Jesus and the people of the Lord who want Him. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, I worship You because You are God. I lift my voice to You. I lift my hands to You. I praise You in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Worship must be informed and it must be enlightened. The Samaritan worship was a corrupted worship. Jesus said to the woman at the well of Samaria, He said, ye worship, ye know not what. He said, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. He said, you don't know, we do. It's rugged, isn't it? But He said it. Hence, we need to be informed and enlightened. Jesus said, I reiterate, we know what we worship. Yes, yes. There are some people who visit our services, and even some people among us, who feel that we are bigoted and self-confident. My God. But you must know how. I don't mind telling you that through the years, Gilberts know this about me, they've known me for a long time. I've always been like this, haven't I? And getting worse, by the help of God. I have always liked a real demonstration of the Spirit of God and power. I like nothing better than when people are stumbling around, speaking out of their heads, noses running, blowing handkerchiefs, everything. Crawling on the floor because they're drunk in the spirit, carrying them out. I like it. I like it. I've always liked it. But through the years, and especially in evangelistic work, when you pastor, you can do what you want to do. But when you evangelize, you sort of have to watch a few things. And I've got myself in some difficulty in some areas because I have pushed for worship and participation and indulgence before God. So I've had some preachers say to me, in some kind of criticism, I suppose trying to help me, they say to me, Stone King, you just get those people all revved up. And they get out there and dance in their flesh. Let me ask you a question. What else have you got to dance in? What you see is what you got. This is all I've got. He gave me hands to clap. He gave me feet to dance. He gave me a mouth to praise Him. He gave me a heart to respond to Him. He gave me a mind to comprehend Him. And people, when I feel Him, something's going to happen. When I come into His presence, something's going to happen because I know Him. I know Him. I know Him. And He knows me. Hallelujah. 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 You will be seated. I'll be the first to admit to you, when you begin to dance in church before the Lord, it's not shouting, it's dancing. You shout with your mouth, you dance with your feet. It's just our terminology. We mess people's heads up by the way we talk, you know that? We tell them we went to church and shouted. What we really did, we went to church and danced. As far as I know, you shout with your mouth and dance with your feet. That's what I was always taught, right? So shouting is really dancing. We come to church and we feel Him. He moves on us. And sometimes He doesn't move on us as much as we want Him to, so we get out there and just do our thing. I'll be the first to admit to you, the first two or three steps may not be spirit, but if you'll keep picking them up, putting them down in Jesus' name, it will become spirit. Because the Bible does not say that David danced in the spirit. The Bible says that David danced before the Lord with all of his might. He danced before the Lord with all of his might. Friend of mine, if you've been saved, if you've been delivered, if you've been set free, if you can remember with your great prayer, that's them with getting excited about your salvation. Do you hear me? I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm going to get out of here one of these days. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get out of this place. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. But I hear the sound of a trumpet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. I'll be the first to admit to you, this is not spirit. It's two hands being put together. But if you do it as unto the Lord, something will happen. Try it. Try it. Can you feel it? Something happens when you clap your hands unto the Lord. Now, add your voice to it, because it is written, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph, not a voice of despair. Triumph! That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Hallelujah! 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 I feel like dancing in this place tonight. I feel like shouting in this place tonight. I feel like running in this place tonight. I feel like leaping for joy because it's in my soul.
He's in my soul. He's in my soul. Doesn't matter if you're young. Doesn't matter if you're old. Doesn't matter if you're crippled. Doesn't matter what's going on. If you feel it, then you ought to do it. It'll change your life forever. It'll change everything about you. If you will worship Him. Because He is God. Oh, do it again. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout.
Hallelujah. I don't know if you realize it or not, but there's an altar service going on here right now. There are people getting delivered in this house tonight. There are people being healed in this house tonight. Because the healing touch of God is in this house. I've said it over and over again. Where Jesus is, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. Anything can happen in the presence of the Lord. Anything is possible in the presence of the Lord. Because He is God. Because He is God. He made that body out of clay. He can repair it. But if you will open your heart, if you will open your soul to Him. Hallelujah. 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 This entire gospel story is simple. It's so simple. It's so wonderful. Paul couldn't worship the old way. Because he had greater enlightenment. He found an altar to an unknown God. You cannot worship God ignorantly and have it accepted by Him. But when you know how to do it, as you do it, there's nothing more powerful. I remember I came out of the Evangelical Free Church, and after I had received the Holy Ghost and became oriented to this kind of worship, I went back to the Evangelical Free Church for a special program they were having. And the choir sang. And I closed my eyes. And I forgot where I was. I raised my hands. And suddenly I realized I'm the only one here with my hands in the air. I looked out through slanted eyes or slitted eyes, and they were looking at me. But you can't go back to that. Once you've ever been enlightened, you can't go back to that. I didn't belong there. I didn't fit there anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me tonight. You can come from anything to this, but you cannot go from this to anything else. Because there is nothing else to go to. There is nothing else to go to. When you have come to this, you're at the end of the line. This is it. This is it. This is it. This is it. And once you've been here, you are ruined for anything else. You are spoiled for anything else. You can't contain it. You can't contain it. Oh, get me to a Pentecostal church. Get me among those people who dance. Get me among those people who shout. Get me among those people who run.
I want to feel it. I want to get involved with it. I want to touch it. I want to. You see, this young man right around here, I would to God every young person in Wilmington, North Carolina is acting like him. Instead of the discos and the bars and the houses of ill repute, why should we make an apology to anybody? I couldn't care less what anybody thinks. We've got it, and I know we've got it, and we're going to keep it, and we're going to demonstrate it. Yes. Yes, yes, this is the best thing. This is the best thing. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And it's the best thing that ever happened to you. I got loose. I got free. I've been redeemed. I've been saved. I've been touched by the hand of the Master. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Worship. Worship requires sacrifice. It requires the giving of yourself. It involves yourself. Real worship is a way of life. This is not a Sunday go to meeting situation here. This is a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so over again on Sunday. We do this in the car on the way to work. We sing going down the aisle in the grocery store trying to find the loaf of bread. We do this anywhere, everywhere, in the shower. I've been shaving and the Holy Ghost followed me and tears just cut rivers down through my lather. Why he wants to choose that? Why can't he wait till I get done shaving? But he doesn't wait. And so when he does it, he doesn't as well lay the razor down or the iron down or the wrench down and just get into it. Just get into it. When he comes, just forget what you're doing. Put your hands in the air, open your mouth, and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will exalt him. I will praise him. I will worship him. For the Lord is God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your life is a worship, and we have rest in the Holy Ghost that turns our whole life into worship. I have not always evangelized. I have pastored 3 times in my life, and I know what pastors go through. People, if you ever prayed for your pastor, now is the time to pray for him. If you have ever lifted up his hands, now is the time to hold up his hands, because there's an onslaught against the pastors in this hour. The devil knows if he can get him messed up, you're messed up, because sheep without a shepherd are going to fall prey to all the beasts of the field. You better hold up your shepherd. You better pray for him. He's the most valuable man in your life. Because he'll get you to heaven. He'll get you to heaven. He'll get you to heaven if you listen to us. I'm the best friend you've ever had. I'm the best friend you've ever had. If I can get you someday to walk on streets of gold, I'm the best friend you've ever had.
Well, I threw that in for free. That's not part of the message, but that's just for free. But here, I know that saints work all day on public jobs. I know they're tired. I know they come to church out of it sometimes. They fell down the steps trying to get out of the garage into the car. Some kid broke his arm. Somebody punched somebody in the nose in the family. Who knows what happened? They come to church. Here you are. That's how it is. I know you're tired. May have gotten laid off or whatever. People come to church sometimes. I used to tell my people when I pastored, I know you're tired. I know you may have had a bad day. But now that you're here, if you are too tired to raise your hands in the air, if you would just prop them up on the back of the pew, if you could find the energy to get your elbow, get up on the back of the pew, if you were just... If you will just prop your elbow up on the back of the pew, if you'll just get your hand in the air, I've got this feeling that God's going to like it. And if you can find the energy to shake your hand, move your wrist a little bit, something will begin to happen. Something will begin to happen.
And if you're in a home missionary church, if you're in a home missionary church, and you've got folding chairs, you don't have a pew to prop your elbow up on. Go to a brother and say, man, I've had it today. I'm out of it. Could I borrow your shoulder? I just want to do something for the Lord while I'm here. Borrow somebody's shoulder, but get your head in the air. Do something to worship Him.
Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. Let me tell you how I really feel about this. I travel all over this country. I go to a lot of work, a lot of effort. I reshaved tonight, reshowered, comb what hair I've got, put on the oil, nothing right now. I'm going to tell you what. I made an effort to get here tonight, and since I made an effort to get here, once I get here, I'm going to do something to earn my investment of time. I'm not going to just come here and sit like a frog caught in a snowstorm in February. I've made an effort. To get here. We made an effort to get here. We might as well get something out of this. We might as well get something out of this tonight. Let me tell you how to get something out of it. You'll get out of it what you put into it. I reiterate, you'll find him in a hand clap. You'll find him in a run. You'll find him in a dance. You'll find him in a song. You'll find him in a place. You'll find him in worship. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Hallelujah. 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 I will not give to God that which costs me nothing. As long as I've made an effort to get here, I'm going to do something. I came to do something. You people are wonderful people. There's no telling what God will do with some of you. Before this thing is over, here's a revelation to me, and I want to transmit it to you. May you never, ever be the same again. The importance of worship is an unprecedented value. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, Jesus said, He made the statement, if thieves do not cry out, He said the very stones, the rocks, will cry out. Let's back up and look at this entire setting. Jesus told the disciples at what we call Palm Sunday, triumphal entry is what it was. Jesus told His disciples, He said, go up yonder and you will find a colt. Loose it. Bring the colt to me. If the owner of the colt questions you, tell the owner of that colt, that donkey, that your master has need of it. And it came to pass exactly as Jesus had stated. They loosed this animal and they were questioned. But they gave the answer, and they brought this donkey, this colt, into the presence of this man called Jesus. I wasn't there, but through the scriptures, I have been there, through the witness of His word. And I can tell you tonight that when they came leading that animal into the presence of Jesus, something began to happen in that crowd that had never happened before. It was electrifying. It was electrifying. And those disciples did something that had never been done before. The disciples took off their cloaks, spread them on the back of their donkey. They got so excited, so inspired, they reached up to the palm trees and ripped off the palm branches and began to strew them in the pathway of this donkey. And then, with human hands, they came and they lifted Jesus on the back of that donkey. And that donkey began to step upon those palm branches and the coats and the cloaks,
and the electrification of that crowd, the inspiration became so great that they could not stand it. The people began to cry. They began to cry out, Baruch Haba, Beshem Adonai. That's Hebrew, which says, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna! Hallelujah! Glory! Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord! And they bowed upon their knees and waved their hands.
And it picked up, it caught fire until there was such a tumult. The Bible says the whole city heard.
The whole city heard this commotion, this shouting, this worship, this deafening roar, this excitement.
But there's always somebody in the crowd that doesn't like it. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees did not like it. And so they addressed Jesus himself and they said, shut it down! And Jesus said, if these do not cry out, he said that a rock will cry out. Why? Why did Jesus say that? This is the revelation. When those disciples lifted Jesus and set him on the back of that donkey, God himself, not another, God himself, for the first time in his entire existence, became physically enthroned before the people. He was on a donkey. He was God. And he was enthroned. And he was entering into his temple suddenly. And when he is enthroned, God himself demands worship. He demands praise. What Jesus was really saying, what he was really saying, was, I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm coming into my temple. I require worship. I must have worship. I'm not enthroned without it. I must have it. And if these will not cry out, then the stones will open their mouths and they will cry out, because the stones know who I am. The rocks know who I am. It's a revelation to me. It's an understanding to me. God himself was enthroned before the people, and his enthronement demanded exaltation, veneration, worship, praise, honor, glory, recognition, acknowledgement. I can tell you tonight, as a man of God, I've seen it all at one time or another. I don't care how great your choir is. I don't care how professional they sing. I don't care how glorious their quartets are. I don't care how great your preaching is. I don't care what an orator you are or whatever. I don't care how marvelous and flawless your format of services are. I don't care how concise and succinct it is. You never get it together until you enthrone him. In every service, you got to lift him on the back of that donkey. And once you get him on the donkey, folks, anything can happen. That's why I say that worship is the prerequisite to the miraculous. I would say here tonight, we got him on the donkey in this place. We got him on the back of the donkey in this place. And he's coming down the road of our life. I feel like bowing. I feel like swaying. I feel like waving. I feel like clapping. I feel like shaking a tambourine. I feel like dancing before him, because he's coming. He's coming down the road of my life. He's coming down the road of my life. I've never felt anything like it. I've never seen anything like it. I've never known anything like it. Just this Jesus. It's Jesus who's coming. It's Jesus who's coming. He's coming. You can feel it. Can you hear the worship? Can you feel the praise? Can you feel his touch? One of the greatest examples of the power of worship that I know anything about in my own ministry happened in Anaheim, California, about 1984, I think it was, somewhere in there. I had preached at the General Conference. At the end of that message, Brother Bill Hardin from Arkansas came to me. He said, "Brother Stone King, there is a woman here with a baby in her arms, and the baby is dying. The child is dying. And they've asked for you to come and pray for that baby." Well, when you've got 10 to 13,000 people, I don't know how many were in that place, just which direction do you go? I said, "Well, Bill, you have to lead me to her. I have no idea where she is." He said, "I will." The story was this. The child was dying with leukemia. About 4 years old he was. Dying with leukemia. He was, at this point, in basically a comatose state. She had driven this mother. She was a single parent. She had driven this mother over 8 hours one way to get to this conference to bring this baby for prayer. She'd gone to the doctor and asked the doctor if it would be all right to take the child on such a trip. The doctor told her, "You might as well. He's dying anyway. He may die on the way. So enjoy him as much as you can while you have him." People, when the doctors say no, there's another voice that says, "Try me. Try me." And here she stood. I'll never forget this. Never forget it. When they got me to her, clear around the other side of this big platform, here stood a woman. Over this arm, the baby was draped. The flesh was absolutely, it looked like just gray waste almost. Baby's eyes were closed. But the mother, holding the baby in this arm, this little boy, with the other hand, she had it in the air. She was not begging. She was not pleading. She was worshiping. I will never forget that. Never forget it. She stood worshiping. And I was so taken with her that I watched her for several seconds before I ever prayed or touched the child. I said the simplest prayer you can imagine. I laid my hands on that baby. Bill Hardin prayed. I prayed. A couple others prayed. Watching. I prayed in Jesus' name and commanded the baby to be healed. And walked away and looked back. And this mother was still worshiping as I was lost in the crowd and worked with hundreds of others that had come to the altar. I never knew what happened until several years later. I went to Oregon to preach the Oregon State Camp Meeting. When I got there, after the first night, Brother Johnson, the superintendent, took me out to eat with other board members. And I was seated beside him at this table. He was at the end. He said, "Brother Stone King, do you remember the child you prayed for in Anaheim, California, who was dying with leukemia?" I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Did you ever hear what happened?" I said, "No, I never did." He said, "From that night on," he said, "that baby gained consciousness." He said, "From that night on, the baby began to gain strength. And today, he is totally healed." Worship. 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 Brother Johnson said, Brother Strunking, that baby, that boy is now, I think he was about 7 years old. He said, he's in this camp meeting. I said, you're kidding. He said, no, his mother goes to my church. They're in this camp meeting. I said, I want to see him. I want to see him. He said, tomorrow night, when you come through the side entrance to the tabernacle, I'll have him there waiting for you. I said, okay. The next night, when I walk through that door, the side entrance, when I step through the door, I just stepped in and looked around. Here was a little boy, dark hair, big brown eyes, white shirt, black bow tie, slacks, shoes shined. I got down on my hands and knees like this. I went like this. I said, come here, son. That little boy came. He threw his arms around my neck. I held him and spoke in tongues and worshipped, because there is a God that is able to do anything, everything, and all things. I gave him money. They took him out the next day, bought him new shoes, new slacks, everything else. And that next night, that little guy was climbing over pews with me, praying for people, laying hands on him, speaking with tongues. Three nights ago in my own home, I dragged his picture out, laid my hands on his photograph, and prayed that wherever he is, that God will make a way for him. Somehow. Somehow! In Jesus' name. Worship. Worship is the prerequisite to the miraculous. The doctors give him a clean bill of health. They are so messed up in their professional minds when they have made a prognosis and a diagnosis and they say, it's over, it's time. Take him, he may die en route. Enjoy him while you can, we've done all we can. Every miracle begins with an impossibility. What is impossible with man is possible with God. When they say, no, you've got 6 months to live, that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the accounts. There's a man called Jesus that you can go to, and I'll tell you how to come to him. You can come to him with your hands lifted up. With your hands lifted up. With your pulse of praise. Something happens. When you begin to praise him. Right here tonight, seated on these pews, there are people here who need a definite touch of God. You need to be set free of a burden and a load. You need a healing in your body. I challenge you as a man of God, right there where you're seated, to lift your hands in the air, to close your eyes, to fasten your attention upon him. Don't plead, don't beg, just worship and praise him. Try it. If you need something from God tonight, if you will simply worship, let your voice out. Suddenly, the healing touch of God, suddenly, the benefits of God will come upon your body. That's it, sir. That's it. That's it right there. That's it right there. That's it right there. You've got a hold of him. He's moving through your body right now. He's moving through your body right now. That's it. That's it. You can feel it in the name of Jesus. You don't have to leave this place tonight like you came in. You don't have to leave here like you came in. That's it. That's it. Just worship. Just worship. He'll take care of it all. He'll take care of it all.
in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. That's it. Just worship. I will have this because I will worship you. I will worship you, Jesus. I will worship you. I will worship you in the name of Jesus. That's it. Does it make any difference what the person next to you is doing? Does it make any difference what they think? Just simply worship Him. That's it, son. Just worship Him. Let your voice out in worship. I will worship Him. I will worship Him. I will worship Him. He needs to do it for you tonight. And He will do it for you tonight. He will do for you what you've been asking. He will do for you what you have been needing. He's doing it right now. Now you can believe it, son. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. You can stand up with the victory. You can stand up with the victory. You can stand up with the victory because you are worshiping Him. There's a miracle. For you, in the name of Jesus, I loose you in the spirit. I loose you in the name of Jesus. I loose you in the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. That's it. Some of you are praying. That's it. That's it. Some of you are praying such private prayers. You never know about it here. That's your voice out of worship. He knows all about it. Don't beg, don't plead, but just worship Him. Just worship Him because He's walking down the road of your life tonight. He is walking down the road of your life tonight. He is walking down the road of your life tonight. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You can hear the cry of deliverance. You can hear the cry of deliverance in this house. You can hear the cry of freedom in this house tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus, I will not be the same. I will have this. I will have it. I will have it. That's it. Let the Holy Ghost speak through you. Let the Holy Ghost speak through you. That's it, man. That's it. 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 Everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. I promise you, as a man of God, in the name of Jesus, 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 just a little more, just raise the other hand, raise the other hand, just simply get into, raise the other hand, in the name of Jesus, raise both hands, that's it, just a little more, the Holy Ghost is falling down, He's falling down upon this place, He has not forgotten you, He has not forgotten you, He has not forgotten you, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout with your voice. Answer the Lord tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, yes. In the name of Jesus, that's it. 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 In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God wants to do something for you. God wants to do something for you tonight. That's it, man. That's it, that's it, that's it. He wants to do it for you tonight. He wants to do it for you tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. That's it, man. That's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. Let the Holy Ghost speak through you. Let the Holy Ghost speak through you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You know how to go after Him. You know how to go after Him. You know how to go after Him. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it, man. That's it. You've got it. You've got it. Let your tongue go and just speak it. Let your tongue go and just speak it. Let your tongue go and just speak it. That's it. How wonderful. How wonderful. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, yes. In the name of Jesus. It's going to be different after tonight. It's going to be different after tonight. It's going to be so much different after tonight. It's just going to be so much different. That's it. That's it. You've got it. You've got it. He's still there. He's still there. He's still there. He's still there. Hallelujah. 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 That's it. 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 That's it.
that you can go and just speak it. That you can go and just speak it. God is doing wonderful things in this house. God is doing some wonderful things in this house. Would you clap your hands again? Would you shout with your voice unto the Lord? That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. I told you. I told you. Anything can happen in the presence of the Lord. Anything can happen in the presence of the Lord. But we will worship Him. But we will worship Him. Jesus, in the name of 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 Jesus, some of you ought to come out of your pews, some of you ought to come out into the aisles, some of you ought to go to somebody else and lay hands on them, you ought to go to somebody who will move by the Spirit, you ought to get involved tonight, because the Holy Ghost is in this house, the Holy Ghost is in this house, hallelujah, hallelujah! Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus. Do you feel like dancing? Do you feel like shouting? Do you feel like doing something for the Lord? Just something for the Lord tonight. Lay your hands upon somebody. Lay your hands upon somebody in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.